Hello and welcome to Pod on the Tyne, or should that be Pod sobre la Turia? Here we are in Valencia. I am Ollie, the producer of the show, and much like Henry Johnson and several others, I'm getting a little run out in pre-season, and I'm joined by Chris Woff. Chris, it's just gone 12:30. Describe the car journey we've just had.
Well, at one stage, I think we both feared, because we were driving through what can only be described as an abandoned industrial estate, and it felt like it was the sort of place that, as you described it, where the mafia would take you if they basically wanted to disappear you. But we got here. We eventually found my hotel, albeit via that very scary back route. And at one stage, there were also blue flashing lights behind it. It turned out to be an ambulance. But yeah, we both thought we were going to be arrested at one stage too.
It was eventful. As eventful as Newcastle versus Valencia?
I mean, that was eventful. Yeah, it's not necessarily what you'd expect from a pre-season friendly, but then there's been very little that I would have said before this pre-season began that I would have expected from it anyway. It's not turned out the way any of us foresaw, and this week has not turned out how I foresaw. Thought we were going to be Eddie Howe, and obviously that has not been the way that it's turned out.
No, that's true, and we will get onto the game in a minute, but we've been here 3-4 days. You have been at La Manga watching the squad train, meeting the new manager, Matthias Jäissler, and we'll hear the highlights of that now.
So it is 10 to 11 on Thursday morning, and we are stood in La Manga on a training pitch, a very nice training pitch. It is very hot. I am sweating. I do look like a beetroot, as does Luke Edwards, who stood next to me. No offence or anything, Luke, of The Telegraph and BBC Sport. We have just had a short chat with Ross Wilson, the sporting director, and also James Bunce, the performance director, to find out what has been going on. We've also just met Matthias Jäissler for the first time, and I have to say, Luke, he is almost as hench as you. Not quite, but almost.
He is a big unit. Yeah. I mean, he's very muscular. It might sound a bit strange, but I'd like to see him without his top on, just to check how ripped he is. But yeah, impressive physical specimen. Manicured beard. Never sure about a manicured beard personally. As you can see, I'm more of a wild man beard. And a nice sort of flicked hair. Good eye contact. As first impressions go, I don't know. I can't say anything more than that. He's a handsome man.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to interview him later on. But how he actually works is another matter than how he looks. But equally, yes, impressive. Met a few of his coaching staff as well. We are currently watching the players do some stretching. They've had a couple of very intense days of double sessions, which they talk about having set records, whatever that means. I don't know. But about different levels that they haven't reached or very top of the levels they've reached over the last 3 or 4 years. And that today is a bit of a more of a quieter session. We see that the likes of Nick Pope, Joe Willock are still there. Joe Linton, despite all the speculation, is here. Obviously, no Bruno Guimaraes, who's already left the camp. But I never quite know what to say when we're in for open training, because I don't really know what's going on, and B, we only get the start bit.
Yeah, there was a lot of excited talk about, you know, the sessions have been really good and they've been really exciting. Sorry, Martin Hardy's just poured water down my back, which was quite cold. So, in the nicest will in the world, it's a lot of waffle at the moment. They are working hard. There is always, when a new manager comes in, everybody starts with a clean slate, so I'm sure they're putting in extra effort. They're all trying to catch the manager's eye. It all sounds very, very positive. But ultimately, as ever, it's meaningless pre-season, and we all wait for the first game against Liverpool, which is, 3 weeks away?
Yep, and we will obviously hear from Jäissler later on, as I have said. We're hopefully also going to hear from Lukas Hornacek, the new goalkeeper, and then there's the game on Saturday. So just watching them, the players are stepping over what I can only describe as like neon-looking rods, some sort of stretch manoeuvres. But the full squad, I believe, is out. Fabian Schick seemed to come out a little bit late, but I have asked if there's any specific injuries, but I don't think there are.
Wilson here, sporting director, just recording a very quick podcast clip. How are you, Ross?
Very well, thank you, Luke. How are you?
Very well.
Chris, are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. Yes, thank you for inviting us in, Ross. We are both pretending we know what's going on here. I don't have a clue what they're doing over there right now. So,
I think you two can just keep pretending that you know what's going on.
We do that in all aspects. But anyway, I will sign off from the side of training camp for now, and we will speak again later on. Thank you.
Well, you mentioned it already. Yeah, this is now a transition phase, but I'm really excited now to be finally, officially also here. in the camp already. I'm even more looking forward being then back home in Newcastle and start that journey. We lost a couple of really important players, but that's also a chance. Yeah? You can see it in a negative way, that there's a lot of challenges and we can search for excuses, but that's not our idea. We see the chance in these things, and now give me a bit of time to really get to know the players, work with them. I think that's the most important thing. We have a clear vision where we want to go, but it's about hard work now in the preseason and making progress. Of course, I have the squad mapping and I have clear ideas, but I want to also know the players now. I want to give them a chance. Definitely, they can show up. It's always a new challenge for the players too. And we can wait. We have for sure the capacity to do something on the market. Our sport director is aware of that. And then for sure, when the season starts, we see also new faces.
Obviously, Bruno has just left. Did you speak to him before he went? Were you involved in the decision to allow him to go from Newcastle?
Like I said, just here now, one day, I met him quickly, but the decision was already made. But it was a nice conversation, a fantastic player, but also a great human being. So it's tough, but for him also a next challenge, and we need to deal with it on a later stage. Again, we trust the players who are here already, but we will also see some changes. Not everyone will be happy. That's normal in football. May one or the other, he wants to leave as well. But first, let me come here and do the job. Let's work all together and then we make the decisions.
For sure, we will have a leadership group. It's important that it's not only on one player who has the captaincy band. It's, you know, more devised and more shared among the other players. Definitely, these guys, they will lead many things. I also like, as a coach, to listen a lot. It's not just me talking as a leader, it's also me listening, and that will be the approach with these guys. I'm confident. Of course, it's another challenge because there's not too many days left until the first match against Liverpool. But it's now the phase. You cannot change anything. I cannot ask the sport director to turn the time back again. So, again, all together, the whole staff, we try to encourage them in the first meeting already that now it's even more important that everyone raise the standards, and the same we expect from the players to find that unity and that DNA, how we want to play football already in the first match.
So the time is now 1:45. I don't really know why I'm timestamping these, but anyway, I'm stood in the last green tapas and cocktail bar in the Manga Hyatt, which is where the team are staying, and we've just had our first 10 minutes or so actually speaking with Matthijs Jijsler on the record. It's fair to say that he is someone who doesn't get ruffled that easily. He's very calm. Just kept on repeating how it's officially only his second day, and so a lot of questions about transfers, a lot of questions about ambitions and moving forward, and he's saying, I'm still assessing the squad, I'm not going to make any big calls on who may leave, who may come in. Said that the Bruno decision, he did speak to Bruno, but the Bruno decision had basically already been made before he arrived, so that gives him, I suppose, a removal from that decision, and that sort of degree of separation. But he did also then come out with a line that there's no excuses. Yeah, he's someone who, there was also, funny, one journalist had asked a couple of questions along the lines of breaking the sort of big six hegemony, and is that his goal? Can he do that in Newcastle? And he sort of went back to the second one, because there was a bit of a gap between the two questions. Other questions had been asked in the interim, and he sort of joked back. He said, you've already tried with that question once, and just framed it in a slightly different way, and then just gave a very similar answer again. So it wasn't exactly explosive. I wouldn't say that it was the most quote-worthy in that sense, but also he hasn't set a rod for his own back with his comments. He hasn't sensationalised anything. I think he's made, as we always say, just about with head coaches, and there's he's made a positive impression. But speaking to everyone around the training camp, they have said that energy has been the buzzword of this training camp. Energy has been lifted, that he's really brought that, and you're going to see that on the pitch as well as off it. That you get that because it's new players. Yeah, we'll hear a lot more from Jijsler moving forward. It was a shame we didn't get longer now, because he hasn't really got to dissect some of the big issues. We didn't get to ask him whether he'd actually spoken to Eddie Howe. He did reference Eddie in the work that he's done. He said, he mentioned the name Eddie, but he didn't get to speak about that. And he talked about
managerial influences, and he said that would be a 2-hour conversation, so I'm not going to name any names right now, but moving forward it'll be interesting to hear from that. We will hear from him after the Valencia game on Saturday, and then also there's going to be some sort of an unveiling next week before Newcastle go to Murrayfield, although that's to be confirmed. But yeah, first impressions of someone who clearly owns the room, someone who is confident in his own skin, talked about being confident that he would prove the doubters wrong, and yeah, that something that's missing from his CV has been managing the Premier League, but the success that he's had up to this stage, he still is growing and developing, but he believes that he can make a positive impact upon the Premier League and at Newcastle United. He seems enthused and excited by the challenge and the transition, as he kept referring, rather than be overawed by it and basically feel that it's a lost cause. Well, since I've been time-stamping all the way through, it's now nearly 3:15, and I'm just walking out past a lovely fountain and past the golf course in La Manga, Club Hyatt, or whatever, I can't really remember fully the name, it's very hot, and I'm walking back to go and get some belated lunch, because we've just spoken to Lukasz Hornacek, who is a mountain of a man.
The club have described you as one of the best young up-and-coming goalkeepers. How would you describe yourself as a keeper? What's your sort of... How do you play? What are your big strengths, do you think?
Honestly, I feel myself like an overall package. I know I'm not perfect at every aspect of the game, but I feel like I'm really good. And I'm trying to always to be really calm, you know, or send positive vibes to the team so they know I'm behind them and they can rely on me. So this is like the job I like to do, because in the end, if the guys don't feel so comfortable with me, then also the game is they won't feel so comfortable to play and do the passes, you know. So in the end, it improves the game overall.
And am I right in saying that you had other opportunities to come to the Premier League, but you turned them down and have chosen Newcastle now? Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
From can you tell us which clubs?
No, I don't want to say that, but after all, I was really delightful with the offer from the other teams, but in the end, when you know there's a club like Newcastle, you're ready to wait, you know, and you are always trying to get the best. That's for you, in this case, Newcastle.
But yeah, interest character, someone who was fishing when he got the call from his agent to say that Newcastle were interested, was trying to catch a carp, and ended up losing the carp, wrestling with the carp as he was on the phone with Newcastle United as the deal was going through. Says that he likes to think he's an all-round goalkeeper, not perfect in any stretch, but has a lot of levels to go up, but thinks he can do a bit of everything, likes to think he can play with his feet. And he's looking forward to the physical challenge of the Premier League. He knows it'll be different, but says if he has to use his elbows, if he has to be physical, then he will be up for that. Looks like he's going to be Newcastle's number one this season. Very positively about Yaisler, the new head coach, that talked about the aggression and intensity and getting the ball forward quickly, verticality, all those sorts of words, buzzwords that we've been hearing, energy, high energy, not just in terms of the way Newcastle play, but also this camp. Those have been the sort of buzzwords, the impression coming from this happiest camp they've ever had, was the quote from one person here talking about what's been going on and that the bump that there's supposedly been with Yaisler arriving and his coaching staff and everyone wanting to impress. I mean, we shall see in time. Usually you get that in pre-season, usually you get it with a new manager coming in. Valencia will be difficult to judge, but we'll maybe see some of those changes coming to force, and then it's all geared towards that Liverpool game 2 weeks on Sunday, when Newcastle have to be ready. Yaisler have had just about 3 weeks by that stage, which is still not ideal, but he insists he's confident he can get his ideas across. He imagine Hornacek, sorry, that's just a golf buggy going past. It's basically a golf resort central, this La Manga in southern Spain. But I want to check, that's one of the new signs, the new number one seemingly, and very mature, already has a baby, 9 months old, the age of 24, says it's really helped him mature, and he speaks very, very good English, as you would expect, just as Yaisler does. Very interesting on his future prospects and what he hopes to achieve in the Premier League. Turned down other Premier League moves to come to Newcastle, wouldn't name them, but we understand one of them was Hull City. So still a lot to prove, not necessarily the goalkeeper everyone envisaged being Newcastle's number one, but the James Trafford interest obviously died down, and now Lukasz Hornacek will be Newcastle's number one moving forward.
So 24 hours on from being in La Manga and being very impressed by how Matthias Yaisler looked, all of you, but you clearly wowed the press back. Any reflections beyond Yaisler's twinkly eyes?
I mean, the buzzword that I kept talking about was energy. Not that I kept talking about, everyone kept talking about that, but I did mention it in those sort of audio clips. And I think that that's what it felt like, that they just needed a freshness, really, that this is different, and is it going to turn out to be better? Only time will tell, and I'm sure there are going to be teething problems along the way, and maybe there is an element of sort of groupthink of everyone being in that environment, and this feels so great, it feels different. But that element of freshness has definitely been injected into Newcastle and into the squad. We'll see in time how that turns out to be and whether it's exactly the positivity Newcastle need. But in the short term, there's definitely been a bump in terms of the way that people feel and maybe the vitality around the group.
Yeah, and actually, that was probably reflected in tonight's game a little bit as well. I thought for a pre-season game, there was a bit more energy around. We did a great job managing to blag our way into the press car park with no accreditation. But there was a sense that the Valencians were sort of up for it a little bit, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, their season obviously is coming up quite fast. It was fascinating for a pre-season friendly that the buses were arriving, and when you talk about us blagging and getting into the car park, that was it was impressive that we got in the end, but it was sort of a 45-minute, now hour-long ordeal almost, where I had to try and fight my way through the crowds and armed police who were sort of stopping the crowds from going into the centre of the street because both team buses were arriving, and there was bands playing, the sort of Valencia music as the Valencians arrived. Newcastle team got sort of both a raucous reception and a boo, that you could hear Newcastle fans chanting all the chants, including I want a boogie or whatever. I can't even get the words right now. It's too late and I've got to be up in 4 hours' time. It felt like the atmosphere in Mestalla, I've never been for a match before, so I can only assume it's like that anyway. But you could sort of, because it's so steep, the sides of the ground, and the Newcastle fans are up in the gods, it feels like that sort of cliched Coliseum anyway, and there was definitely up for it. It felt more than just a sort of normal friendly, quote unquote, and I'm sure you're getting on to what's going to come on to in a bit, and that some of the challenges that went in, one in particular, was not what you'd usually expect in an exhibition match.
No, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Actually, the Valencia, the club, made quite a big effort to sort of make it feel like a proper football match. They had a little sort of foam archway that everyone had to come out. They put the ball on a little podium for the referee to collect it like it was a World Cup semi-final. And hydration breaks. We had a hydration break, the second of which arrived at 10:45 p.m. A hydration break at 10:45 at night. How did you feel about that, Chris?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I could have done with a hydration break. I could have done with several. I mean, by the time we actually got into the ground, because I'd fought through the crowds and been carrying my bag, and I'm not very good in the heat anyways, we know, I had perspired absolutely obscene amount, and I was not pleasant company in that regard. You were sat next to me, and on the other side I had Kieran Kelly from the BBC. So yeah, not great in that regard, and the only frustration with it was that it just prolonged the night, and 9 o'clock kickoff, so yeah, I get why they have to, because of the heat, but that makes it a very late night as well.
Yeah, it did, and everyone was a little bit ratty by that stage. You definitely were. Let's talk about the game a little bit then. If I let you talk about the football too much, George will tell me off, but there was some interesting stuff that happened before the game, in particular some omissions from the lineup and from the squad as well.
Yeah, so Nick Pope, who initially the information that came out of the club was that Nick Pope had a bit of a minor injury. I asked Jaisler about it afterwards.
Yeah, we want to give today a new signing 90 minutes. That was actually the case. And I had a talk with Nick. I really appreciate what he did in his career so far. And he knows exactly his situation right now. And we need to deal with it in the best possible way. But I always appreciate the players and the human beings behind, so this is the most important thing.
And as you hear there, he's almost intimating, he says he's had a conversation with him, intimating that basically the exit door's there, because Hornacek made his debut and he looks like he's going to be the number one. So in that regard, it was interesting. I mean, we'd already heard before the game that Lewis Hall had flown back on Friday, along with Lewis Miley and Fabian Scher. Fabian Scher dealing with a bit of an injury at the minute, just being managed slightly. Same with Lewis Miley, still being managed back gradually. Lewis Hall picked up a knock. There's all the social media rumours, as you know, Manchester United come calling. Newcastle insists there's nothing to do with that. He's going to train on Sunday and could even be involved at Murrayfield on Wednesday. So yeah, some big omissions there. Ewan Zhouan wasn't in the squad either. That seems to have been a minor injury. But yeah, basically Newcastle had no fullbacks either. So Miodrag Pivas, who's a 21-year-old defender, come midfielder, centre-back, usually was playing at left-back. He's right-footed. They had Leo Shahar, who's now started three of the four pre-season friendlies, starting at right-back. And then in the second half, they brought on Dylan Charlton and Mason Miley, the 17-year-old, as the fullback. So they're the interesting ones in terms of the sort of omissions or places where they're clearly short. Nick Valdemar started as a number 10. It was a 4-2-3-1. The system the Icelanders tended to play previously, double pivot in there, I've got to get that in there, and we saw for the first time Elijah Bamba alongside Jacob Ramsey in those that sort of deeper role in the first half in the sort of 4-2-3-1, and you saw the principles early on that Newcastle were trying to press high at certain moments, press intently, but then also what is clear is that those two deep lying midfielders and also at other times the fullbacks get the ball, if the space in behind is Valencia left in with a high line, get the ball over the top and get Alanga running in before he went off injured, very promising early on, had a goal disallowed, get Asula running in behind, get Harvey Barnes in behind, just try and be as direct as possible and get the ball forward if the opportunity arises.
I was going to say, don't talk about the football too much, but you've just talked about all of the football, so all the football's done there, that's good. Well done. The other notable thing, when the teams were announced, the captain was Malik Chow as well. That was interesting.
Birthday boy Malik Chow turned 25.
Happy birthday, Malik Chow.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's not technically his birthday anymore, but yeah, because we are speaking in the morning after. But yeah, Yaisla even made a bit of a joke about that, didn't he? That he'd given it for that reason, but then sort of went on to say that he still hasn't necessarily made a firm decision. There's a few more training sessions and games to go. And Jacob Murphy took the armband off Chow Chow handed the armband to him when he went off. Like how Yaisla talks about having a leadership group and so there'll be multiple ones within it. But I think it was indicative that it was Chow who was given the armband. Obviously there are certain players missing and maybe experience will arrive as well. But if you look at players who are likely to start matches, he's probably going to be one of the first names on the team sheet.
Started a lot of matches last year, Chris.
Exactly. And he tends to be fairly level-headed and roughly he's not going to be a sort of demonstrative leader necessarily, he's not going to shout and bawl, but I think that he's very much the early strong favourite to be the successor to Bruno Guimarães' cup.
Yeah, and actually the fact that he was put up as the player to come and meet the press afterwards as well, he was asked about Bruno Guimarães, he didn't give a lot on that, but I thought he was interesting, especially when he talked about the newer players, so maybe we can hear that now.
Yeah, 100%. I think we're really optimistic. Looking straight, what we can achieve, I think today was already a good test. Of course, there are things that we can improve. But the feeling in the team and I think from everyone, from the staff as well, is really, really, really positive. I think every coach has another idea than somebody else. So I think there are always some stuff that is different. He has a clear structure, clear plan, how he wants to press, that he wants to go quickly on opponent's goal. So if we win, our first look is, of course, forward. Yeah, and as well, the intensity is really, really high. But as I said, it's just the first week, so there's still a lot of things coming. Players have different roles, me included. We have to step up as well. Yeah, it's a good challenge for us personally and also for the team. Yeah, I think we have a lot of quality, a lot of potential. What I like about the new youngsters, the new generation, they're really confident. That's also how they play. They're not scared to step up. So, big appreciation to them. They're doing really well. And, of course, I think they are still young. Of course, you have to give them a little bit of time. But I think a lot of them, they are already ready to perform 100%, yes.
Yeah, and sort of he's going to have to take them under his wing. He's one of the experienced players now. He's just turned 25, and yet he is certainly in footballing terms one of the more experienced players within the group. And, I mean, there's the obvious German connection with it with the head coach as well. Maybe that makes it more seamless as well. But I've heard a lot of people over the last few days saying it should be Lewis Hall. I get that to a certain degree. I still think he's a bit young and doesn't have enough experience relative to someone like Chow necessarily. I think it's better to be in a centre-back position rather than a full-back position as well, although you could throw Kieran Trippier back at me on that regard. So, but yeah, I think it feels a logical step if it's to be Malik Chow.
Lukasz Hornicek, who you met recently, we just heard from him earlier in the show. Not the greatest start. I know it's a pre-season, but He was a bit wobbly.
I mean, the first thing he did was kick the ball directly out of play, and then the second thing he did was pick the ball out of his own net.
A shot that he probably should have saved, you would have thought?
Well, I think that might be slightly harsh. It definitely wasn't in the top corner, so maybe he could have got closer to it. But there were a couple of worrying moments in the first half, which again is going to come with time, where that relationship, he clearly hasn't yet, but he's only been here a week, he clearly hasn't built the relationship with Chow and Botman yet, just to know when to come, because there was one moment with Chow where Chow ended up heading it out for a corner, but
there's a lot of that, you know,
and then Botman nearly scored an own goal, same sort of thing. And those relationships need time to develop,
not just the new guys either. There was just a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly. And the second half, he made one really good save, I thought, down low to his right, made a couple of regulation saves as well. You can see he's decent with his. He is reasonable with his feet. He's quite comfortable having the ball passed back to him, and so that may give Newcastle a fresh dimension. I wouldn't say that on the evidence of tonight. Having said he didn't want to, as I said earlier, didn't want to compare himself to anyone, and then said Manuel Neuer. I wouldn't say that it was evident that he's of Manuel Neuer's ability with the ball at his feet as of tonight. But clearly, he's an upgrade on Nick Pope in that regard.
Okay. You mentioned the direct nature of the football. That was notable, albeit in an unusual game. Elanga was bright. Then, just before half-time, Gaia, the local favourite, or certainly a popular player amongst the fans from what we heard, he put in what has been described in some quarters as a horror challenge. You and I didn't necessarily see it that way, did we?
No, I mean, it was definitely a bad challenge. It was late. He caught Elanga high in his shin, and thankfully Elanga seems to have avoided a serious injury. It seems that he's basically got a knock to his shin, so it's a painful one.
But it was described as a contusion, which is a very fancy word for a bruise by the sounds of things.
Yes, exactly. But Yaisla even suggested that Elanga could be back at some point this week, so that is encouraging in that regard. But yeah, I didn't think it was a horror challenge necessarily. It definitely wasn't a challenge you expected in a friendly, and that's sort of what Yaisla was saying. He was like, you don't expect it in that sort of environment. You want to be competitive, but you don't expect it in that environment. But I didn't think it wasn't like he was off his feet. His studs were up a bit, which is what Yaisla immediately showed on the touchline. But I mean, clearly the Newcastle players are annoyed. Willisula's really good mates ran across immediately and basically put his head towards Gaia, and then Jacob Ramsey came across and pushed him. All the other players sort of ran in. And Yaisla having demonstrated on the bench, then a lot of the...
Well, it happened right next to him, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the backroom staff jumped up as well. So it clearly animated and annoyed Newcastle. And it was just straight right. I mean, the referee, it wasn't even after he saw the injury and when the stretcher was called on for Elanga that he gave the red. He ran across and immediately gave the straight red card. And he had a better view. We had the immediate view, and then we've seen replays which are still from a distance and aren't really zoomed in. So, you know, maybe we are wrong, but from the replays that I've seen, I think it's a bad challenge. Do I think it's like, oh, that's a leg breaker, absolutely horrendous challenge? I don't think it's at that level.
It didn't feel like there was a lot of physical force coming through it. Like,
it was reckless.
He caught him high. His foot was up. It didn't feel like he was like fully committed and throwing all of his weight behind it, really.
Yeah, but you don't expect it in a preseason.
And actually, I think maybe that was part of it. I think maybe he sort of realised what he was doing halfway through and sort of went, oh God, it's a friendly. What else happened? Johan Visser. He played all right. Wisser, sorry, I was doing really well there with my pronunciations. Johan Wisser scored twice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd say of the three really encouraging players to perform, I thought Jacob Ramsey looked good at parts of the first half. I think he looks liberated to a certain degree. Maybe that it's reading too much from the evidence of how long he played for today, but maybe Bruno Guimarães going, he's got to take more of that responsibility. I always think with Ramsey, I always expect that to be more. So that was a bit liberating. I thought then as Basmane Touré came out at half time and there were signs from him and he lays on the second goal. And for Wisser, yeah, it was huge. I mean, he had a good World Cup. That he looks fit now. He looks sharp. He gets involved. It's not even just the fact that he scored the two goals. He's involved and he capitalises on a poor clearance poor ball forward from the goalkeeper. He's the one. It's Touré who pushes inside and basically almost forces that. And then Wisser finishes. He finishes it straight at the keeper. Maybe the keeper should actually save, but anyway, it goes to the keeper's legs and he scores the goal. He then has a header over the bar from Jacob Murphy not long afterwards. And then he's the one who sort of creates the second goal himself by driving forward the middle of the pitch, sends Touré away down the left. Then Touré very unselfishly rolls it to his right and Wisser can put it into an empty net. So, yes, that's a very good sign, I think, because whereas Valdemar is a number 10, bordered between anonymous and I thought actually poor on the ball when he did actually have it. He didn't really see the usual skill you'd get from him. So
it was very reminiscent of a few games that he played in the second half of last season where he struggled to get into it, and then when he did get touches, he got bustled off the ball a little bit. And
yeah, and you wouldn't expect him to get physically outmaneuvered by a Valencia side. But anyway, yeah, so there's that. Whereas Wissa, he was definite positive, and that's what Newcastle needed. Because you look at the team, and I'm going to reference George here because he's texted all of us and told us, he screen grabbed his own message to me from the first half, where basically he says there's not enough goals in this team. And I agree with him, there's not enough goals within this squad. Asula was bright early on, but there was one moment where he's played through and he puts the ball in the side netting. And it's still early in pre-season, so I'm not trying to dig him out because he did really well at the back end of last season. But a top-class striker at the top of the game just scores, takes that chance. Wissa has three chances, scores two of them, takes those opportunities. And yeah, after what was a bin fire of a first season from Newcastle United, there is so much more to come, hopefully, from him. And hopefully, under Yeisler, we can actually see the Johan Wissa and Newcastle thought they were signing.
Late on, when the game was sort of petering out, he just came deep and just took the ball in an unfamiliar position. But it just felt like he was saying, all right, I'll come and do this. He was talking to Pivas as well. He was very vocal, I thought. This has just occurred to me as I'm talking. I actually thought Botman, Chow, Wissa, Ramsey, perhaps they've all understood that there's a bit of space there to fill in terms of seniority, and that's what they're looking to do, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, without naming specific names, people inside in Newcastle camp this week when you're speaking to them said there are already changes in attitude in that regard, that people have stepped forward. And so those names you have mentioned, I mean, the fact that Chow got the armband, Botman has to give just for the sort of figure that he is, but yeah, also Wissa. And I mean, Wissa very much is one of the elder statesmen now. It's because if you look beyond the fact that the captain's gone, all three captains who lifted the Carabao Cup have now gone. But of Newcastle's leadership group from last season, there's basically, I mean, Dan Byrne is back on Tyneside now and will join up the squad this week. We're going to have Dan Byrne, you're going to have Jacob Murphy, if Nick Pope does go, as it sounds like he's going to. So basically the entire leadership group have left, and so it needs to be filled. And those characters, yeah, they need to step forward now because there is a vacuum there.
Well, none of the captains who lifted the Carabao Cup were there. And today's captain didn't even lift the Copa Naranja. He didn't lift it. I was gutted. It was a beautiful trophy as well. Really nice.
It was. The bat.
The Copa Naranja.
The Copa Naranja, yeah. Well, your pronunciation is far better than mine. But the bat trophy, yeah. I mean, you could have put it on your chest and you could pretend you were Batman as well, couldn't you? I mean, that was it. Yeah, it was an absolutely wonderful trophy. But I mean, but you and I had been very snooty before the game when you were, as you mentioned, there was a plinth for the ball and that you came under the arch. And basically, I also said that you shouldn't have NAF trophies for pre-season friendlies. But if you're going to have a trophy, then that is the one you want.
Yeah, and I just happened to be recording on my headphones at the time when it was coming towards the end of the game. The Valencians got really mardy when they realised they were going to lose the game. They did not like it. Let's have a listen to that. Right, well, it's been a pretty successful trip to Spain, would you say, overall?
Yes, it's been basically the way that James Bunce, Newcastle's performance director, described this week has been one of speed dating for those inside the club. And I think that that's reflective of not just those inside the club, but also as journalists covering the club, as following fans as well, just trying to find out as much as possible in this short space of time between now and the start of the season. Yeisler was officially confirmed on Wednesday. He's basically been there best part of a week now as we speak now. And there's 2 weeks, as if we're speaking on early, very early as of Sunday morning, 2 weeks until Newcastle play Liverpool. And so, yeah, it's been a voyage of discovery and there's still a lot more to come. We've got the first inklings of Yeisler ball tonight, but he was never going to get all of his ideas across in just a few days, and also in a pre-season friendly. They'll be trying different things and he hasn't obviously got all his players. I asked him about transfers tonight. You can hear his answer right now.
Yeah, 2 days later, because it's not that long time ago that we talked. Of course, you get every day new informations about the players. You get new updates from the transfer market. But with all the respect, it's not the right place to talk about.
not someone clearly who likes wants to be answering about transfers, but he's going to keep asking about them, keep getting asked about them, so he's going to have to come up with a different solution to that one. But basically, in a different answer later on, he says the squad is not complete, and that's evident. Fullbacks in particular, and obviously in midfield, we know that they're looking for more experience there. But on the evidence of what's happened this week, with it was all negativity all summer going into this week. Eddie Howe goes, that's a big wrench in one sense, but it feels like the start of something new. And even Bruno going this week, which has punched that to a certain degree, particularly because Newcastle got 75 million rather than maybe more as people expected, I think.
But even that feels a little bit like they've lanced the boil rather than anything else.
Exactly. And so, and Yaisla hasn't had to deal with that because I asked him about this on Thursday, as you heard, and basically he just said that decision was already made for me. So it's like that blank slate. And that's not to say that everything's going to be brilliant and sweetness and light moving forward, but it feels like this week it's almost been the reset that needed to happen this summer. It's come a bit belatedly, but Yaisla's come in, and yeah, we will get more of an idea in Murrayfield on Wednesday when Newcastle play Everton, and then in the back-to-back home friendlies next weekend. But this is a different version of Newcastle, and it's a promising start, albeit a friendly.
Very good. Right, well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you've got to get up at 5 to go and catch a plane from the wrong airport. There's an airport in Valencia. I don't know why you're going to a different airport. Anyway, I'm going to drive 2 hours now. That doesn't make any sense either. But you and I will be at Murrayfield. Then I will not be podcasting after Murrayfield, which is a relief to me. But you will be joining George and Taylor for the weekly show, which is also on YouTube. We managed to do that after several months of trying. It was about as slick as it could have been, do you think, in the circumstances?
Yeah, I think it worked all right in the end. I mean, it was a bit of a chaotic week and we were waiting on certain things to be announced because we recorded it before I was flying out to Spain, and we had to wait for that to be confirmed before George's interview with David Hopkins could drop, and we obviously couldn't publish until that moment. Seeing some of the feedback as well, I mean, there's been a lot of comments about the different hairstyles of those who...
Well, you had about 8 different hairstyles just tonight, just from the different stages of sweat that you go through.
Yes, very much so. Thankfully, that was not caught on video. But also, there were comments about George's bedroom, whether he lives in a child's bedroom, which is, I thought was my favourite comment of all. So.
Right, okay, we'll move on. Podonthetine.supportingcast.fm is where you can pick up a subscription if you want to listen ad-free, or if you want to get additional content, including Extra Time. There's an extra show on that subscription. The latest one we did with German football correspondent from The Athletic, that's Seb Stafford-Bloor. He was typically excellent on Matthias Yaisler, even though he confessed that nobody in Germany knows anything about Matthias Yaisler. He was nevertheless very, very knowledgeable, as he always is. Get in touch, podonthetine@gmail.com. As I said, the next show will be with you midweek, maybe Thursday, but that'll go out through all the usual podcast providers, and it'll go out on YouTube. And all that remains for me to say thank you to Chris.
You're welcome.
And thank you to everybody at home for listening, whether you're in England or whether you're in Spain or whether you're somewhere else. Thank you and good night.